Welcome to our Sunday Night Blessing Live. Glad you stopped by. Trust that what we say and do and our prayers together and some of the scriptural teachings that we dig into will be a blessing to you today. Stay tuned as we join the live broadcast, and then you're welcome to make a comment, send us a note, and just enjoy the time together. God bless. See you soon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another of our Sunday Night Live broadcasts, and I am excited tonight to have a special guest with me, my friend and co-laborer in the kingdom is going to be with us tonight, and in a moment I'll introduce her to you. Sister Wambach, we call her in more formal areas. And I know she's smiling when I say that, Kristen. I want to encourage you, if you haven't subscribed yet, do so. And it will be a blessing to us to have you on our little team as we journey together. Also, share this program tonight with someone. Just, you know, send off a message. Somebody would love to hear this. We're going to have a powerful night talking about the supernatural and the Spirit of God and the spiritual world that is unseen to the natural eye, but is seen obviously to the spiritual eye. And that's really the theme of this night, especially with Kirsten, is that there's an eye that needs to be developed and an ear that needs to be developed. And so we're going to get into that in just a moment. So I want to bring her on now, and we'll just enjoy this time together. Hello, my friend. Thank you for coming on.
Hi, George. Yes, I did smile. Can I say hi, Mom? Because isn't that, you know, hi, Mom.
I want to, the Lord brought us together 6-7 years ago through a series of people that we each knew separately. And then we spent quite a number of years interacting both personally and, you know, in face-to-face type things, and also on the Zoom. So we've had a lot of time together, maybe a little more unusual than most because of the ability to connect on the internet. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing era of time we're in when we have the ability to link together with saints anywhere in the world, really, that are hungry for the things of God. So what I want to do is kind of point you in the right direction. I know you got your tenny runners on because you're ready to run here in a minute, but perhaps it would help to start just in the microcosm snapshot of how you came in to the world you're in now. And I know there was a born again experience, but there was a kind of a progression somewhere along the line. Mm-hmm. So, dear sister, tell us about that.
Okay. Thank you, George. I received the Lord when I was a little girl. I was 8 and didn't pay a whole lot of attention to him through my teenage years, young adult, and didn't include him in really important life decisions. So I made some big mistakes along the way, and I was in my second marriage and pregnant with my third son, and I was just about done with the life again and wanted to, you know, run away from the marriage that I had. And so it was that trauma that actually brought me to my knees to ask for help. From that point in time, asking for help, help came. And I asked every question that I could think of. And he answered them and just kept going with the hunger and the hunger and kept asking and asking. And I was just so hungry. I kept asking questions. And from those questions, Holy Spirit came along. Well, there wasn't a whole lot of Holy Spirit in the background from where I learned about Jesus. So it was something new. Well, he introduced himself to me and everything changed. My hunger increased. I just kept spending time with him. I learned how to pray, learned how to intercede, I did every ministry possible in your local church and led it. But I just kept on going. There is no limitation to loving God or experiencing his love. So one thing led to another, and love literally opened up doors, and I started seeing things, mean little things in your peripheral, and started seeing them. Well, I believed the Jesus that had brought me this far. I believed him when he showed me something. So I shared it with a couple of people, and they didn't believe it. And that was really hard. So I spent many years in that really hard place, but I never stopped developing what Jesus had showed me. I never stopped believing that he was showing it to me for a purpose, and I just needed to learn what was the purpose, how does the purpose respond to my life and respond to the lives of others. Mm-hmm.
I love the how quickly you went by that. I begin to see things, and they thought I was way out there.
Yes, I did.
Now, this is the big question, or the big, you know, repetitive thing. Why would you see something like that and get any meaning out of it? I mean, what's the point? Just love God, do your duty, go to church, raise your family, and Jesus is coming, and just get ready for the rapture, and we're, you know, we'll just get out of here and go to heaven. What do you say to that?
Well, the teaching or the theological doctrines that I was a part of, they never talked about Jesus being seated on the throne. And what's his ministry now? Mm-hmm. How does his ministry function in my life? What is it like to be seated in heavenly places next to him? Well, I asked those questions and I found myself seated next to him and learning. What does it mean? What is your ministry? What is my ministry with you? And so that's, you know, that's the purpose. What's the purpose of heaven if we don't discover it when we're still alive? I mean, what's the purpose? So Jesus could see the Father. Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. Yep. He could see the disciples across the lake. He could discover all those things. He figured out how to walk on water. He figured out how to get away from an angry mob. So many things that somebody taught him that. Well, if he can learn it, I can learn it. He wants me to learn it. He wants me to know him as victorious king. He already came and did his ministry. It's my turn. It's my responsibility to know him.
Why do you think it affects people in the general church in a fearful way or a negative way or a shunning way when you talk about seeing in the spirit, going to heaven, having angels in your room? we've all experienced that. Is it just a fear of the unknown, or is and it could be many things, but just mm-hmm. there's people listening to us now that are, that may be in that place where someone talks about this and it's, you know, they hear the Twilight Zone song playing, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, doesn't he say that he leads us into all truth?
Yeah.
So as long as I hold his hands wherever I am.
Yeah.
It's up his responsibility to teach me. It's his responsibility to guide me. It's his responsibility to mature me.
The scripture that's somewhat overlooked is that really it's a pivot scripture for me. Mm-hmm. As is, so are we in mm-hmm. this world. And much of the focus of my early days, and I think a lot of the church activity, is as he was in the shores of Galilee and heal the mm-hmm. sick. It's all wonderful. And I'm in. I love healing and I love preaching in that mode, but he is now in a different position, and that is at that right hand of God, the mm-hmm. Father. And so one of the things, as we've interacted, you've said to me in some of your experiences that he said we could do what he did. And then, you know, so that really opens the door, doesn't it?
And then some, and then more. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, the book that we're going to introduce tonight and then give some opportunity for you to get it is called The Unfinished Book. Mm-hmm. You wrote that about 3 years ago, and it's having a powerful impact on so many different levels. But I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. And in doing so, I want to step into some of your experiences. I want to hear just a little bit. I just today, again, refreshed myself in a couple of sections. And there's one section in there that is the section on naming angels, you know, the name of angels, the whole chapter. And I had an introduction to that in a serious way back in 2015. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about that. But how did the Lord prompt you? And now I don't want to tell your story. I'm like the preacher. I'm like the pastor who invites in a special speaker, then gets anointed, you know, and I want to keep talking. What was the launch? How did you get into writing this book?
Well, it took me 20 years to get into it. That's a pretty patient Lord, isn't it? I actually could see the book in my spirit before I ever got serious about sitting my bum in the chair and writing it. So angels. We have an angel story too, don't we, George?
My dad told me it took 20 years to make a preacher, a sermon, because it took 20 years to make a preacher.
There you go.
That's what you just said.
Yeah.
That the book that we're referring to, the unfinished book, is mm-hmm. the journey that you have been on. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's back up for a moment.
All right.
Let's rewind back to your first encounter with your first angel.
Okay. So, I was driving the school bus at the time. I had four sons, and my fourth son was going over to the coast for his fifth grade end of the year field trip. Thankfully, I did not have to drive. So I got to enjoy myself and enjoy the kids and enjoy my son. And so we went over to Pacific City. And there's big dunes and everything there. And I was kind of in between a rock and a hard place between, really, I wanted to share the things that I was encountering and seeing, but it wasn't comfortable to share what I was seeing. So I was kind of in a world where I couldn't talk about it and there wasn't anybody to share it with. So we went over to the coast and hungry for God. Just reading everything, teaching Bible studies, leading women's ministry, and here's this secret life over here. And so at the coast, I was asking such questions about angels. And I looked up at the top, there was a huge sand dune all the kids were climbing on. And I looked up and I went, well, by George, there's an angel up there. There's a few of them up there. And so I did the whole, oh, you know, what? Am I seeing this? So again, I'm a question asker. I went, well, God, if I go up there, will those angels still be there? So I got up from my cozy place there on the sand and I climbed up the sand dune and got to the top of the ridge and they were still there. And it didn't take a rocket science to figure out why they were still there, because at the top of the ridge was a cave away, a cavern where the sand dune had fallen out, was all fenced and with all the signs that said, do not enter, do not climb the fence. Well, do you know how many people have climbed that fence and lost their life? That's a really good place for angels. I saw the angels and they're beings of light and they were moving around here. And so then I asked more questions and I said, Lord, if I turn around and look the other way, will I still be able to see angels? So I did. I turned around from the ocean side and looked over towards where the town was of Pacific City, and I could see angels ascending and descending. And from then on, I went, okay. That was I won't say it was my very first, but it was a very time that I really tested and asked the questions. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the purpose here? Can I see here? Can I see there? So I learned from that I had something to say to whether my sight was turned on or turned off. Mm-hmm. But again, I just believed what he showed me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, let's rewind back a bit, because what happens when someone hears a supernatural story or revelation is most often they'll put that person in a category of a special person. Someone that is just different than they are because they're such a piece of dirt. You know, I'm a little exaggerated perhaps. So rewind, and I heard hunger, I heard searching, so there's no way that we really know when it starts, but there was an entrance into that, wasn't there? Like a runway or a doorway that got you to that one big breakthrough type thing.
All right. So I was seeing you're right. There is always a point of when you're receiving something, seeing something, and the Lord is positioning you to step out by faith and to break through. You know, just land your faith at it. And I was teaching a women's Bible study at the church. I was in charge of women's ministries. And one of the campus pastors, a dear friend from the church, she was a young mom, had a one-year-old child. And she was taken to the emergency room and then sent life-lighted, I think, to OHSU, and she had a collapsed lung and they didn't expect her to live. So we had, you know, Bible study, and I was really good friends with her good friend, the campus pastor. And so, of course, what do? As a Bible study, you pray for the needs of your congregation. And so this young lady, her name came up, and so we were praying for her and stuff, and I could hear the prayers. And it scared me. I went, are you kidding? I mean, just like, no, I don't think so. And so I was so upset and so distraught by the prayers that were prayed by the saints. I went home and said, God, this isn't okay. She's got a small child at home and a husband, and this is not okay to ask the question, well, Lord, if it be your will, if there was always if. And then when they said if, we give ourselves excuses. There's if, and then, well, if it doesn't happen. And it felt like that, like you might as well just, you know, close up the casket and call it over with. So I went home terribly upset. And I just determined, and I started praying for her, praying and just ignoring what others said. And about 2 weeks of praying, I don't remember if I fasted, all of a sudden I got this picture in my spirit. And this picture was this house with three trees. And it was like on construction paper. It was super simple. Again, I go, I knew this picture had to do with this woman I was praying for. I knew it did, but I didn't understand it. So I kept, what does this mean? I know, God, that this is about this young lady. Well, again, it took me a while longer to actually hear. But when I heard, the Lord said, oh, that picture that you see, her daughter brought it home to her from kindergarten. I knew that I knew that I knew that she was going to live. I knew because she was receiving that picture from her daughter from kindergarten. And from that point, bam. And I called and I went and I spoke to her dear friend. Well, you want me to tell you the negative side of it? There was a bit of a negative one. The negative side, I was unable to share it with her personally because I was instructed by said leadership that I had to keep my mouth shut.
Uh-huh.
Did I say that okay?
That old devil stuck his neck up, huh?
So anyhow, a few days, I held it in my heart because, you know, you're going to be a good little and stay in the pews. Well, her friend, the campus pastor, came to me and she was crying and bawling and saying that this woman wasn't going to make it another 24 hours. And so I told her. I just said, I don't really care. I told her. And from that moment on, that lady was immediately healed and shortly released from the hospital. And that was a real breaking. That was a real camel, you know, break the camel's back, because I don't care if the rules in this organization say that I can't, even if I tried to follow them. And from that point on, I got in a little bit more trouble from that point on, but that woman alive and, you know, loving on her family. What's better? So I knew the purpose. There was a purpose to see a simple little picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A simple picture. So I saw forward. I saw 4 years forward on the timeline. I had to believe God. And because I believed God, and she to this day does not know my part, but I believed God. I believed what he showed me, and I believed that I would hear and learn what he showed me.
So that prophetic spirit is that eye that can look ahead, give revelation ahead. in time and see that thing happen. That's the essence of the spirit of the prophet, is to be able to not only speak it, but they're speaking something they're either seeing or hearing and speaking it forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. So in my history, there was a time prophets were not even acknowledged, or they didn't even know about them in early Pentecost for me. I was 12 years old. I had my first prophecy, and most of the people that were in our circle of influence didn't believe in the prophet. So now the prophet is almost front and center in our life, at least in a lot of the church life. They're on the internet, the prophets and so forth. So that was a breakthrough. That was a revelation of that particular gifting. So what we're talking about here today in this, as we focus in on angels and spiritual revelation and, you know, stepping into the throne room and visiting and, you know, relating to the Father face to face. This also is, the term groundbreaking sounds kind of common, but it's really the opening up of a doorway or a threshold for people to enter in, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't feel all that that much of a hero when you're being when you're being worked on, you know, negatively, do you? You know.
No, it's it was really difficult.
For the gals out there, just let me say there's two things that you get that they use on you. Number one, you're a woman. Number two, what you're saying is flaky and crazy. So you got two things going against you.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I guess I had to be real hungry, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Now, because we both have pastored and still have a pastor's heart in a great sense, I'm always concerned. Early on, my pastor taught me, he said, when you're in a crowd, don't mind the people in the center, get to the edges. That's where the people need to be encouraged to come in. So we don't want to be just preaching to the choir here. I believe that what we're doing today is we're speaking to some out there that have had the flash of light to the side. They just ignored it, have awakened from a dream and thought it was pizza. All those things that happen, is that it's that breakthrough that God's trying to break through. Talk a little bit about that. And I know you've had some encounters in that level also, breaking through, stepping into a new place.
Mm-hmm. Just a reminder that I was never afraid of what Jesus was going to show me.
You're a bad example then.
Yeah, I was never afraid of what Jesus was gonna to show me, and I just wasn't afraid. And I'm the only girl and three brothers, so I guess, and I never wanted to be the nurse. So
you were set up.
I was.
Yeah.
I was.
My favorite verse, or one of them I like to use out of Revelation. John the Baptist was in the spirit on the Lord. John the Revelator was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He heard behind him a voice like a trumpet, and he turned. And when he turned, he saw and he heard again. So that's really one of the purposes of our interaction today, is getting people to turn into their hunger, turn into that little flash of light, or the wobble of the ear, that you see, well, I thought it was just a pressure change. Well, sure, it was a pressure change. An angel came in the room. He's trying to get your attention. So that's that's what my heart is. Pay attention to those times that you feel the prick of the of the of the Holy Spirit, the nudge or the hunger. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I have two little testimonies to tell you. And my mom is listening. So I had the privilege of ministering with my grandmother, and 80 some years of age, I don't remember, I got to lay hands on her and watch her being filled with the Holy Spirit. So that was wonderful. So the thing about being hungry and traversing is that your family members, my husband, my kids, they all see you make mistakes. They all see you do the right thing. I mean, you know, they're the ones who are living through that with you. So your consistency and your ministry of heart, there's fruit. So last week, was it last week or the week before? My mom was looking for a garden bench. And so we drove to McMinnville and didn't find a garden bench. Had been out for a couple hours and we were hungry. So we went and found a restaurant. It was upstairs. Warm summer, it was a warm spring night, so we got to sit outside in the patio. And then all of a sudden she leans in, she tells me, she goes, Christy, the other night I was up late. She loves to stay up late and watch the news. She has a cute little dog named Trinket. She goes, Trinket sat up from her bed and her ears were perched, and she watched her look and follow across the family room. And my mom saw that. And when she followed Trinket's gaze, she saw a huge angel walking, bodily walking through her home. It kind of rubs off. If you, part of opening the door is talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It just opens the door. You talk about it. Even with my church family, we talk about it. We can put anything on the table, and we can talk about it and say, Lord, explain this to us. What does this mean? What does this do? How do we, you know, what are we responsible for? What, you know, what's the purposes? We're supposed to be free to be able to discover everything that God provided for us. So isn't that cool about my mom?
Now, you know what is important here?
What's that?
The general church, and please understand, I am a lover of the body of Christ and the church.
Absolutely.
The general church feel alone most of the time. And because of that, they have an emotional emptiness. In the sense, I feel alone, especially in some severe places of testing, trials, bad days. But if we can, if they can understand the crowd in the room, and that's why the seeing and the hearing is so important, mm-hmm. to know that we are encompassed around about with such a cloud of witnesses.
I totally agree.
And heavenly hosts. So we're never, never, never alone.
Never alone. Mm-hmm. They've come to help us. They've come to help us. Angels are here to help us. The cloud of witnesses are here to help us. The beings of light are here to help us to accomplish our destiny scroll.
What about the accusation, though, that if you talk to them, you're worshiping angels?
Well, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I tell people I talk to my dog every day. I'm not... No, yeah. It's a retort we hear, but it's baseless, actually, because they have come. They are servants sent to minister to us.
To the heirs of salvation.
That's right. And my caveat to that is every breathing human is an heir of salvation.
So, absolutely.
So they have come. And I have a project. I'm going to build a house, and I got the lot. And so I call up the workforce in town, and I say, send me a busload of help. And they send that busload out, and they get out of the bus, and I never talk to them. I never bring the plans out. I never ask them to do a thing. I am a foolish contractor if I did that. That's what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a great word picture, George. That's a great word picture. So when it's funny, when you start seeing, and part of starting seeing is that agreeing with what you see. And then you go out and about, and all of a sudden angels pop up here, there, and they're so humorous, like, she can see us, she can see us. They get so excited. Because can you imagine, you know, being a being of light, and you're assigned to this person who's blind, and your assignment means you have to walk with them for 80 years, 100 years, and they never say a word to you?
Mm-hmm. I had an experience with that years ago in my more fleshly days.
Oh.
Before I was a saint. I was in another state with a man. We both were in California. We went north, and we had a disagreement in Oregon, and we had to drive home. We had to drive home to California in the same car. It was a memory I don't like to remember, because we were both silent for a long time. Finally, I think I finally got punched by the Lord a couple of times, and we mended before long. But to be in that car for several hundred miles and not say anything was a terrible experience. How would it be? How is it then with what you just explained about being with someone and never communicating? The angels of the Lord encamp around about those who put their trust in him. They're there. And I heard the statement the other day, if you're doing the will of God, you're already involved with angels.
Mm-hmm.
Would you even know about it or not? If you're doing the will of God, which is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hired an angel to keep notes for me. People raise their eyebrows. Well, how can you do that? Well, I just did. And I called him Herbert because I used to work for a guy, a pastor that was a note taker. I mean, he wrote notes all the time. I said, well, I'm going to call him Herbert because I need someone to keep a scribe to keep that. You see, well, I thought that was the Holy Spirit's job to bring everything. The Holy Spirit is a delegator, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He delegates out. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the engine, the Spirit of God, obviously, behind everything. But the angels are the ones who bring it out and make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they keep track of the angels and the scribes and the men in white linen. Oh my goodness, there are so many different people in God's construction scheme.
Yeah. I was driving down our little street, our little main street the other day, well, a couple of years ago, and the Lord, I'm looking at these businesses on each side, and I notice, well, they're still in business, and I haven't shopped there. I've never shopped there. How'd they stay in business? They're still in business, you know, that thought process. And the Lord said, what if everybody in town was a plumber? I said, okay, you got, what do you got for me? Well, what if everybody, all they did was plumbing shops. Everywhere you went was a plumbing shop. And you needed a carpenter, you'd be in trouble. So it is with all the aspects of the spiritual world. There's so many different workers in our spirit world. Now we talk about the gifts of the spirit. Mm-hmm. And we teach a lot on all the various giftings in the church. But that is a snapshot of the spiritual world, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give me two or three examples then of different types of angels you've encountered and maybe the purpose that they came.
Herald angels. Because they're carrying a sound. And first you have to pick up the sound, hear the sound, encounter the sound. But they bring a sound that they put in your heart. They want you to release it. Because they're sending forth good news that has never changed. And so that there's a sound that goes out in their clarion call that they want you to partner with and agree with, that sound of good news is going across the earth and touching hearts and changing lives. Mm-hmm. Another different kind of angel. Well, this one is probably... most people probably talk to their house angel, because when they get ready to go on their vacation, they close and lock their door and they say, oh, angels watch over my house. Well, my house angel, her name is Myrna. And
how'd you find that out?
I asked her.
Uh-huh. And she answered.
Of course.
Sure.
Yeah. And she's always there. She was there when we were roofing the house and I was up on roofing the house and Myrna was there and there were other angels that came. And Myrna does a bang up job at keeping large branches from falling on our roof. And we have really large trees. I could show you picture after picture of them being set down and not hitting the house.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, okay.
The angel ministry then.
What?
Has non-essential, minuscule work, and also on the other scale, huge, unimagined, supernatural, powerful work. So what a broad scope of angelic intervention and interaction. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
I have one of my little stories I love to talk about. I had a box of nails that I needed to just, you know, do something with. They've been in the way for years. Old by now, they're kind of rusty, and there's all kinds of sizes. So I started going through them, and I had a coffee can that I needed to fill up. So I filled that up with the good stuff. And I had a handful left what am I going to do with these? And down in the bottom of the cardboard box, it was like, you know, 20 years old or 15, there was a paper sack filling in the crack. I opened up the paper sack and put the nails in. That's how I believe the angels go ahead of me to prepare the way. That unimportant to anybody else but me at the moment. That's how detailed the angelic host and the ones that work with us do. They go ahead and they're behind us, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I tell you another story?
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones. So I was asked years ago, I was asked to... I was going to an international conference and the worship team that was scheduled to lead worship that night was unable to get there. And so the host came up and asked me if Kristen, hey, would you lead worship? And oh, by the way, the speaker's daughters are going to come and join you. And so I had to put together a worship team and everything. I had less than 24 hours. I ran home, you know, gathered what music that I needed and went back up and I shared with the Lord. We were at Palmer College. No, I don't think I'm getting it right, but it's right at the base of Mount Tabor in Portland. And Mount Tabor is where the healing guy, it'll jump in my brain. But so anyhow, I went and I asked the Lord when I was driving down I-5, I go, would you please make sure that the chapel is open for me at 2 o'clock the next day so I can sit at the piano and I can practice and run through and get things organized. So that day came and I go into this little chapel at the college, John G. Lake. It was right at the base of Mount Tabor where John G. Lake had an encounter with an angel. Maybe it was the same one. I never thought about that. So I went to this chapel. The conference had a small break. I went to the chapel and I opened the door and there was this guy and he was just playing the grand piano and he could play all 88 keys. It was impressive. And so I went back out and I went, Lord, can you hurry him on? Can you rush him on? This is my time. I need to sit down. Da, 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 da. And he just kept playing. And it's interesting. I knew every song he was playing. So about 20 minutes later, when he was not going to move, he wasn't done with his opportunity at the piano in the chapel. I just said, well, heck with it. And I walked up front and started singing along with him with the very familiar tunes, worship tunes that I could hear him play. And then he's playing stuff that all of a sudden I hear Holy Spirit say, well, why didn't you ask him to play with you tonight? And I went, what? Are you nuts? You know, do the whole spiritual qualifying, you know, we have no idea who this guy is and where they're from and da da da. And I argued with Holy Spirit for a while. Well, he usually wins. And so finally I asked him, and his name was Michael. And I said, Michael, you're really good at the piano. Would you help me tonight? Because I need to lead worship. And that was my area. I wasn't very good. You know, I didn't play all 88 keys, and he was phenomenal. And he said, sure. So we led worship in this very odd team. And it's like I was had played with him for 20 years. He never missed a timing. We worked together beautifully, and I was so encouraged. I was encouraged, and I got to be more of me with what God had called me to do. Well, it was over, and people kind of went home, and I never saw him again. And I know that he was an angel sent to help me because I was saying yes to what God was doing, yet I was outside of what maybe where I was comfortable with. So, yep, he was really good at playing the piano.
Great story. Hallelujah. I want to take a few moments here.
Okay.
Slice of time to talk about your book.
Okay. And,
give us a run through and then the contact point that they can get that little, you did a wonderful sample book that I you told me you want to send to people that mm-hmm. they'll just contact your webpage. So talk about your book, some of the overviews, because some of them are going to want to go to Amazon and order it. Mm-hmm. And you can get it there with the ebook or the printed book. Mm-hmm. So give us a run through of mm-hmm. what God's saying in this book you've written.
Well, from writing the book, it was my journey. It is my journey. It's this part of my journey. It's my journey of faith, my journey of pressing through fear, my journey of being odd and different, and my journey of, okay, I'm going to break some rules here. And I kept on going. And so it was my journey of how God dealt with me, dealt with my heart, how I kept my heart softened before him and, you know, love myself, love people, forgive myself, forgive people. And so it was my journey of struggling with, this has taken me 20 years to accomplish it. So my journey to overcome my mindset that I can't do this. And I did do it. And so inside the book are my testimonies of running into angels, learning how to see angels, learning how to hear God, learning how to, well, how do I heal myself? How do I ask for forgiveness for myself and see the transfer, him take the weight and the burden, and I get the joy and the peace. There's many, many activations in the book. It's very hands-on, and there are encounters that are alive. And I say alive because all it takes is a believing person, and they just step in and believe, oh, I believe that God helped her to write these words. Well, I'm going to step into those words. I'm going to step into that encounter because it's live. It is all alive. The Bible is the same way. Mm-hmm. It's all alive. It's the living word of God.
Yeah.
So they will learn and have activations and be encouraged and know that, you know, from the other side that they're not crazy. They can do this and they can learn and they can walk in their destiny of how God called them to walk in their destiny. But today, George, when you asked me to come and talk with you, I was just so captivated with the back of my book. It was laying here and I was super captivated with it. I went, okay, God, I don't get it. There's 7 points here on the back of my book. It says, when I was 8, I asked him to come into my heart. When I was 29, allowed him to heal my heart. When I was 30, I asked him to introduce me to Holy Spirit. When I was 40, I allowed Holy Spirit to change me. When I was 48, I agreed with him what he said about me. When I was 49, he opened my spiritual eyes to his kingdom. I'm now 58, actually 62, and I feel like I'm only beginning.
Amen.
So this morning, I wrote between the lines. I wrote a short little book, put it all together in one day, between the lines. What was going on? What was God doing between those lines in that time frame? And what was he asking me? And I have 2 activations that will help. It helped myself, and it'll help people to encounter God. What is my why? And what is my how? And how do I take it and how do I move forward? But we have to know our why. Why did he call me here? Why? What is my purpose? Why? Why does one person see and another one doesn't see? Why? So there's 2 activations in my book. It's for free. It's not even, like I said, I wrote it today. Literally wrote it today. And it's attached right on the front page of my website. You just need to fill out your name and email address. It'll take you directly. You download it. It'll come up on your iBooks, and you can read it.
Now, the page is going across the bottom.
Uh-huh.
You need to speak it out because this is also going to go on podcast.
Oh, okay. So Kristen Wambach.com. My name, Kristen Wambach, WAMBACH.com. That is who I am. If you put in that name, Google will give you lots of different ways and you will find me. So just go to my website on the very front page. You can't miss it. It says free book. Where am I? When I was, that's the name of the book. When I was. So.
Wow. Powerful. Thank
Yay!
You. Now, what I want to do before we come to our landing in this. And we've already been doing it, but I just want to state it and put it in a declaration form to release those that are with us today into a new place, a new realm. I love the portal, the gateway, the doorway picture.
Mm-hmm.
I can do that because that's the way I operate. I can step into places, see it in the spirit, feel it in the spirit. But Christian, I want you to kind of lead on that, that thought about declaring over those that are with us today, that breakthrough and that revelation and that open door for them.
So since we've been sitting here, I have been seeing a large chain. It's like a chain that's just, it's just a chain. And so I look at a chain, I go, well, God wants to open something today. And Jesus is clearly the key. Jesus is clearly the door that we walk through. So I'm just speaking that from what I see, that Jesus wants to open the lock that has chained something to, should I say, individual. He wants to open that today. And so it's really easy to believe that Jesus wants to open something. So I give you an encouragement. Go open a door, open your refrigerator, open the sliding glass door to go out the back, open the door to go to the garage, whatever door, go open a door. It's simple as that. And when you get on the other side of the door, just wait a minute. But simply say, Jesus, I believe that you opened a door. You unlocked something today that wasn't unlocked before I came. It's unlocked right now, and I'm going to step my feet over, and I'm going to go open the door, and I'm going to walk on the other side. Yeah. And that's how easy it is. It really is that easy.
I'm hearing, I'm not worthy. It can't be for me because I haven't earned it. I don't feel anything. I don't feel, you know, some superpower.
Do you want me to respond to that, George?
Yes.
Okay. So, this is what I've learned to do. When a lie comes into my head, I say, Father God, I ask for your forgiveness for believing that lie, that I'm not worthy to receive you opening the door for my breakthrough. You are opening the door for my next step in relationship with you. I ask for your forgiveness for believing the lie that I'm unworthy and that I can't see and I can't hear. I ask for your forgiveness and I receive your forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Now, I would have said that with my preacher voice, but it's the same anointing.
With your preacher voice.
Oh, I'm... a little spiritual humor there. We don't have to shout.
I know.
To have the anointing. That's a powerful word you've just spoke out. And I'm seeing in my spiritual eye I'm seeing some men and women sitting, listening, maybe on a, you know, on the podcast or moving around in the day. And God has just stepped into their world. It's they're going to be a shaking going on. Not a shaking in the sense where you're going to in an earthquake of danger, but a shaking in a place where God is rearranging your thinking and your understanding. And you're going to be in the next few days, within a 7-day period, there's going to be such a turnaround in some of the things that had been locked up in your understanding of what we've been talking about, that it's going to, you're going to have a sensation of fear. So don't take that. Fear not, the angel says every time they show up, fear not. Sudden appearance of supernatural events, whether it be angelic or the Holy Spirit coming in like a fire or a wind, do not fear it. Embrace the thing that God is sending your way. And remember, you've asked for these things. Some of you have prayed for years. Oh, God, I want to know you. Oh, God, I want. And so when God shows up and doesn't have on a 3-piece suit, don't be afraid of him. Amen. He may have his sandals on. And one of my first encounters a number of years ago, when I began to break into some new realms, Jesus rode up on a horse bareback and swung me up on the back. And he had beach shorts on, you know, the kind down to the knee, and had a tight t-shirt on. And I grabbed his muscly back and held on while we took off across the meadow for a long ride. And I will never, ever forget holding on to a t-shirt Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now, that's my breakthrough into a world, another level, another world, another level of the spiritual journey we're on.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, if you got something to wrap us up with, I'm just coming to it.
Well, can I? One of those doors that is opening, I see a small child on the other side of that door. So I just to say that there's a small child. When the door opens, that small child that God is literally opening the barrier between something for that small child, and I'd say a parent that was communicating, or whether it's healing or whether it's a visitation, but that small child is on the other side of that door, and that's a good thing.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Good word. So many people tell me they can't see anything. So I say, okay, shut your eyes, and I want you to see your front door in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Put your hand on it, open the door, and I take them through the kitchen and into the living room. That's the same eye that you see the kingdom with. It just develops. It's like a muscle, isn't it?
Grow it is.
The more you exercise it.
It is.
Amen. We'll be sure and send for the book. And you will be blessed. I have the hard copy in my hand right here, right there. And you will be blessed beyond measure. Send for the small book. That's free. It's on the webpage. And we're going to hear from Kristen again. We'll have her back on our little channel as we grow. I'm continuing to do these Sunday night live broadcasts. So be sure and come back again, those who have tuned in tonight. And until tomorrow morning, I'm on every day of the week, early in the morning for about 15 minutes, a word for the day. So I'll see you then. And Kristen, don't take off. Go in the green room for a minute, and I'll see you after I'm saying goodbye to the people.
You got it. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Glory to God. All right, folks, I love you all, and I am pleased to be a part of your life. Until next Sunday night live, we'll see you then.
Thank you for being with us today. It's such a pleasure and a blessing to us to know that we're able to speak into your life and give you something extra to chew on for a while. Be sure and contact us if you would like some prayer or teachings of any sort that we might be able to help you with. Don't forget, be sure and subscribe to our channel. And if God's nudging you to send us a financial gift, you can do that through our PayPal account. The notes are there that you can find in the notes below. God bless you, and we'll be seeing you at the next broadcast.